Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the story of Christmas and the birth of Jesus that just reminds us of how beautiful you are, God, and how your ways are not our ways, and how much that you love and care for and understand us. And as I have an opportunity to speak today, Lord, I pray you would encourage your body and help me to say what's on your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at two parts of the story of Jesus' birth and after his birth, shortly after his birth, found in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. I'm going to read it for us this morning. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement off quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, which means God saves, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not know her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with a child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with a child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. So he sent his soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are seeking to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This was fulfilled what the prophets had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." That's part of the Christmas story. And I think one of the things that the Christmas story reveals is that God relates to us as imperfect creatures. I'm glad he relates to us in this way because I'm aware I am an imperfect creature, an imperfect human. And I think sometimes we get the idea that as Christians, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, having a knowledge of the truth of God's word, somehow we're expected to be superheroes. And I'm glad that God in the Bible always relates to humans as humans and not as superheroes. And in the way God relates to Joseph in this story, and our particular focus of today is going to be on Joseph, we see a man that has to face fears time and time again. And each one of us has faced and most likely is presently facing different types of fears in our lives. We're about to start a new year. I love the new year because typically around the new year, I kind of assess, I don't know why, just the way the calendar works, I kind of assess where I'm at, and sometimes the new year forces you to plan what you want to do in the next year. And sometimes as you're going through that process, you'll become aware, you'll become conscious of things that you're facing that may fill you with a sense of despair or dread or fear. And Joseph is a man, and he's human like us, and he experiences these same types of things in this story. And we will face fears, and we will face difficulties throughout our lives because we live currently in a broken and dangerous world. And the big idea I want us to get today is that God will show us how to respond to our fears. If you are facing fears, if you have fear, if you're aware of that even right now, of a fear you have, what I want you to take away today is that God will show you how to respond to those fears. And we'll see that in the story of Joseph here, that God shows Joseph how to respond to the fears that he had. And Joseph was not a superhero. These fears were very real. And they almost led him into actions that would have caused him to lose out on God's plan for his lives. But God was very gracious and showed Joseph how to live through his fears. Just out of curiosity, how many people are currently aware of a fear they have right now, or a fear of something that is going to happen in the future, in the not too distant future? All right. That's almost all of us, and the rest of us are just trying to think of one, and as soon as you do, you can lift your hand. No, just kidding. All right, first, I'm not going to go into the theology behind this, but obviously this story reveals that we live in a very dark world. One of the first things that happens after Jesus' birth is that Herod, who was the king of Israel at that time on behalf of the Romans, slaughters a group of small children, of babies. And the Bible is very upfront about, is very real about how broken and dark our world is. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we face things in life that are broken and that are dark and that are evil. The world that Jesus entered into just in the first two chapters of Matthew is a world filled with death and deception and fear. Matthew makes this explicit in his fourth chapter in verse 16, where he says, "The people dwelling in darkness," referring to us, "have seen a great light," speaking of Jesus. "For those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." In the world that we live continually under the reality of the shadow of death, that we all will die, and we live in a world that is filled with evil and darkness. But even in that word shadow, we're shown that there is a light that shines. You can't have a shadow without a light. And God is shining in the midst of the darkness, and therefore we do not have to be afraid. Okay, I just want to say that up front. In fact, God invites his people into fearless living. 43 times in the Bible, people are encouraged to not be afraid. That's a lot of times. And in Joseph, again, we see this man who God empowers to face his fears, to not give into it. So I want to look at Joseph's fears. He faced three fears that I see in the story, and they're rooted in three different things. The first fear he faced was rooted in confusion. Joseph was engaged. He's referred to as a good man. We can sense that he wanted to marry Mary. Perhaps he was in love with Mary. At that time, marriages were arranged, so sometimes love grew over time. But perhaps he was in love with Mary. He had committed himself to her. He was preparing to marry her. He had life plans in order. Perhaps he was looking forward to having a family with her. And suddenly, he finds out that she's pregnant. And this, if you were in that type of a relationship and you found out your girlfriend or your fiance was pregnant, it would raise all sorts of questions. It might cause you to fall into despair. You're losing this person that you loved. You don't know why she did what she did. You would be most likely confused. And it's interesting because when God speaks to Joseph, one of the first things he says to Joseph is, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." See, it's going to take faith for Joseph to take Mary as his wife, because he's going to have to believe something about her that doesn't possibly seem to be true, that she didn't sleep with someone other than him, and he has to overlook that somehow and by faith take her as his wife. By faith believe that somehow God was the one that orchestrated this pregnancy, that orchestrated this conception. But in order to live by faith, he has to face his fear. Now listen to me very carefully. Fearless living is not denying fear exists. It is actually facing the very thing that you fear. The movies we love all have people generally having to face something that they're afraid of and somehow overcoming that. My current favorite, Hunger Games. All about facing fears, among other things. All right? And we love that because we were born to be fearless. We were born to, or we were created to be in the presence of God, to live with him without fear. But we live in a broken world, so there are fears. And fears can be rooted in confusion. Oftentimes we're confused because we're asking the question, why would God let something happen? And I'm almost sure that Joseph would have asked that question. Why, God, is Mary pregnant? I'm committed to her. I'm a righteous man. I've been faithful to her. Why did this happen? And God comes to Joseph with a prophetic word and speaks to him and says, do not be afraid. Now, Joseph, and this is just some lessons for us because Joseph is really a character sketch of what we can be like, how we can imitate Jesus. Joseph was going to be gracious to Mary, and instead of having her stoned for committing adultery against him, he was going to put her away quietly. He was seeking to be kind to her and to even do the right thing by not exposing her. Isn't that what God is like towards us? He's kind towards us. He's gracious to us when we sin. He's not wanting to expose our sin in front of other people, but instead to cover our sin with his blood. And in this way, Joseph is modeling to us the graciousness of God. But God breaks into what Joseph thinks is the right thing to do and sends him in a different direction. And in order for us to live free from fear, we have to be willing to embrace the moments when God speaks into a situation, and we have to be willing to obey what God says. It's not just enough to do the right thing. As the people of God, we have to be willing to hear the voice of God when he's speaking and respond to it. And that will help us overcome fear. Joseph needed more than to know what the right thing to do was in order to take Mary as his wife. To show that type of supernatural grace, Joseph needed a word from God. And in facing our fears, sometimes we will need a word from God, a prophetic word that allows us, that pushes us, and allows us and empowers us to face that fear. Is that helpful? We cannot be afraid to follow God's voice, and we must be open to him speaking into our own lives, into areas of confusion that we face. That's one. Two, we have three. We see the second thing Joseph faced is a threat to his family. Now, the interesting thing about this particular threat or fear is actually Joseph is not aware of it until God shows him it. And sometimes we're not aware of threats that are coming against us. We're not aware of the things we actually fear until God orchestrates events in our life to show us our own vulnerability. And we can't live fearlessly thinking we're invulnerable. But when we admit our vulnerability, it gives God a chance to act on our behalf. And here Joseph is vulnerable. He doesn't know the threat that is coming at him. Herod is going to come and he's going to seek his son's life. But God knows. And this gives me such a great sense of security in my own life. That the things I'm aware of and the things I am not aware of, God knows all of them. And if I can believe that, and if I can believe that I am serving a God who is sovereignly orchestrating events in my life, in the lives of those around me, and in human history, then I don't have to be insecure or afraid. because God's in charge. And Joseph would have had a reason to be afraid if he had known what King Herod was going to be a do, what King Herod intended to do. But he didn't have to be afraid because God knew. And God spoke to the wise men who came to visit Jesus and told them to go by a different path, which gave Joseph time to flee from Herod before Herod found out that the wise men had deceived him. God spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him to take his family to Egypt. And what did Joseph do? What was the first thing we learned? Obey when God speaks. He immediately, in one translation it says, he immediately, or that night, he woke his family up and brought them to Egypt. He didn't sit there wondering, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to us? Mary's just this young mother. Baby Jesus is still nursing. What are we going to do? No, God spoke, he acted. That helps you to face fear, because instead of wondering what the threat is going to do to you, you're acting on what God has told you. And we see that this was all a part of God's plan. It says that God had planned before Jesus was born, hundreds of years earlier, God had prophesied through a prophet that out of Egypt, God would call his son. Matthew connects the dots for us in this story and says, this was God's plan all along. And there's nothing you're going to face in life, there's nothing you're facing now that's outside of God's plan. He knew it. He knew how evil King Herod was going to be. He knew the threat that was coming against Jesus' life. He knew the father and mother he was going to give Jesus. He had a plan all along. And I take such courage when things, when there's threats, when we're facing a financial challenge, when things don't work out the way in our church the way I thought they would work out, when I'm facing disappointment, I take such great security in knowing God knew and he had a plan, and he's orchestrating events that I am not aware of so that there is a way for me to walk through the situations I face. So to a deadly threat, God sovereignly orchestrates a way out for Joseph. All he has to do is follow it. That's the second thing. When we face threats, we can trust that God is sovereign, he knows, and he will protect and lead us through. Thirdly, God speaks to Joseph in a dream. Isn't it amazing how God speaks? I would really love us in the new year, City Church, Abundant Grace Church, to believe that God wants to speak to us. And to take some time, God gets to decide when he speaks. So it's not like you can sit down and say, how come God didn't speak to me? But you can be open to God speaking. And I hope in this story that the number of times you see that God spoke to a fearful Joseph would encourage you that in the midst of your fears and confusion and uncertainty and the threats that you face, that you would believe that God might be open to speaking to you. And that means you take some time to be with God, to listen to what he might have to say. Amen? If we embrace that, this new year we'll do well. God speaks to Joseph and he says, Herod is dead. You can go back to the land of Israel now. So Joseph takes his family back to the land of Israel. But when he gets there, he finds out that Herod's son, who was not a great guy either, who I believe was the one, I believe he's the one that would be a part of Jesus' trial and death. But you might want to fact check that on me. If I wasn't in Mexico last week, I would have been better prepared for that. But God tells him to go back, and Joseph finds out that Herod's son is in place, and he is fearful and uncertain about what he's supposed to do. He's going back to Bethlehem, their hometown, the town where David's son was meant to be born, the town where Jesus was born. They return there, but he's uncertain about whether he should stay there. And do you ever enter into a situation and you suddenly become uncertain about whether this is where you're supposed to be? Maybe it's a place you're living. Maybe it's a relationship you're in. Maybe it's a job that you've taken, and you get there, and you're facing the situation, you think, huh, I'm not sure what God's doing here. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be here right now. And Joseph feels that. It's his own kind of intuition. There's an uncertainty that's in him. And uncertainty can often lead to fear because we feel insecure. We feel like we don't know what to do. And here, in the midst of his uncertainty, God comes to him again. Isn't God good? It specifically says in verse 22 that Joseph was afraid to go to Israel, to Judea, the place that God had told him to go. So again, we see the imperfection of Joseph here. God knows that we'll face fears. It's part of being human. But we need to find God in the face of those fears. And so God comes to Joseph again. I got to check if whether it was an angel or a dream. Anyone know? Came to him in a dream and warned him to go to Galilee instead. And faith finds God in the midst of confusion and uncertainty. God knows we are human, relates to us graciously in that manner. He did not leave Joseph alone in his fears. I want to encourage you today, God will not leave you alone in the midst of your uncertainty. He is a good shepherd. He comes and finds his sheep and leads them out. So we see three things here, and then I'm going to give us some application to close. One, our fears can be rooted in confusion, threats that we face, and uncertainty. God responds to confusion with a prophetic word. God speaks to us in the midst of our confusion. To a deadly threat, we find that God is sovereignly orchestrating things, showing us that we can trust him even when circumstances seem dire. And lastly, we see that fear can be rooted in our own uncertainty about what God is doing. And in the midst of that, we can, one, use our own intuition that God's given us to sense things, and two, see the graciousness of God in giving a sign to Joseph about what he is supposed to do, and we can expect that from a good shepherd who is faithful to his sheep. So, practically, many of you raise your hand saying you currently face fears. How should we respond to our own fears from this story? One, be open to God speaking into our situations in supernatural ways. Obey him when he does. Much of my life has been marked by this. I remember going to college and God putting on my heart the neighborhood of the Fenway. I didn't know what to do with it. There was some confusion around that for me at that time. And I remember after living at home for a year or two out of college, I remember God just speaking to me about living in the Fenway, and I obeyed that. Because I obeyed that, God began to lay the foundation for a church to be planted there. Be open to God speaking into our situation in supernatural ways. Obey him when he does. So we can respond to our fears by being open and listening to God. Two, we need to learn to build trust. I was recently listening to a guy talk that has been coming to our church, and he's been in a season of recovery, and he, through some challenging times, and there were some threats to him and his family that came along with that. And in the midst of it all, he said, looking back now, he can see how God was sovereignly orchestrating these different situations in his life, basically to bring him to his senses, and he's now finding God reorienting his life on a whole new path. And he can see all the things that at the time felt like were tearing his life apart, God was actually using to bring him back to himself. And one of the ways we can build trust in God is by reading his word, like the story of Joseph, like we just did today, that encourages us to trust God and his sovereignty. The second thing we can do when people share, and I love Abundant Grace because you always make time for this in your Sunday meetings, but when people share about how God has been working in their lives, it helps us build trust in God's sovereignty. If he can do it for them, he can do it for me. They're as human as I am. This is what God loves to do. So we can respond to our fears by trusting God has a plan, even if he hasn't shown us what it is yet. And then lastly, we can seek wisdom. When Joseph was close to arriving in Israel, he sensed that there was a threat. He sensed there was a danger. His own intuition led him to that, and he began to seek what he should do, and God spoke to him in the midst of this. And to help us here, one, we can find out what we should do in God's word. Proverbs, a great book, the book of James. But the Bible is filled with teaching and stories that show us, that have wisdom for us of what we should do when we face certain fears. And when we find God speaking through his word, our response should be like Mary's in Luke 1:38, when she said to the angel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Ultimately, our faith is in God's word, what he's spoken. When he says he's a good shepherd, when he says he's sovereign over all situations, these things we can trust. We can find wisdom for living in God's word and in our relationship with him as he speaks to us. And so, as we close, as we start a new year, I want to challenge us to face our fears. Not to run from them, not to pretend like we're fearless by ignoring our fears, but to go to God with our fears. To listen to what God would have to say in the midst of confusion and uncertainty, and to trust that he has a plan and he will lead us through them. And so I'm going to pray for us, and we have a few minutes left here. Then I'm going to ask us to pray for one another. Would that be okay this morning? Because our fears are very real, and we need the encouragement of others. And I'm going to ask that we just split up into groups of two or three with the people you're around. It'd be great if maybe you were comfortable enough to pray with someone you might not know. But if not, I'm sure there may be someone you know here. I'm going to ask us to pray that God would speak to us this year, that God would grow our trust in him this year, and that we would respond in obedience to the things he is speaking to us through his word, and that he speaks to us supernaturally. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for this story. Thank you that you don't call us to ignore our fears, but to face our fears. That Joseph had to take the risk of taking Mary as his wife. He had to wake his family up in the middle of the night and flee to Egypt, and all the emotion, confusion that would have come with that, Lord. And yet you showed him the way through these fears, and you led him and guided him. And Father, I pray as we start a new year, you would give us the courage to face our fears, to step out in faith and act in the face of them, not to run from them, unless you're telling us to, God. Lord, to be honest about them, Lord, and find you speaking in the midst of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you could just break up into groups of two or three just for a few minutes. And if you could just pray short prayers. Jesus warned us about the danger of long prayers. One, your neighbor might not appreciate it. Two, he said a short prayer is just as effective as a long prayer. So you could pray short prayers that people, your neighbor, would hear from God this year. You could pray a prayer that God would grow your trust as a group in him. And you can pray that we would respond in obedience to the things God's speaking to us. So I'm going to allow about 5 minutes for that, and then we'll conclude our service today. Don't do groups bigger than two or three, because it will take too long. And don't share your fears. Just pray. Pray for God to speak. Pray for that trust. Pray for that faith to act on the things God is saying. Amen. Lord, we just come in agreement as your people. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are with them. And that what two or three agree for on earth, you'll do in heaven. So we just agree together as your people for every prayer that's been prayed this morning, God, on that they would come to pass in Jesus' name, and that Abundant Grace Church and City Church in this new year would be filled of stories of how you enabled us to face our fears, God, and find you in the midst of them, and that we would see your plan unfolding for each and every life that's gathered here today in 2016. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.